All right, if you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of Exodus. Exodus. Don't forget to read your bulletin. There's so many things going on. That's why the bulletin is published, so you'll read your bulletin. I want to speak to you today upon this subject. Are you listening? Now, this is not an expositional message. But it is topical, devotional. And you know why it's that way? Because that's how God gave it to me. And I want to give it to you. Maybe it'll be a blessing to you, okay? I want to speak to you on this subject, the tabernacle. Now, if you don't understand the tabernacle, you'll miss most of the New Testament. You won't understand the New Testament. If you don't understand the meaning, the signs, and the symbols of the Old Testament tabernacle, you will miss all. Don't read the book of Hebrews. I mean, you won't understand it. Because you must, that is foundational truth, and you must understand that. You must understand that God has a progressive revelation. God has revealed himself to man. And he did that, an infinite God to a finite man. It transcends all of the human thinking and human understanding down to a finite man. Well, God did that through progressive revelation, and we have that in the Word of God. You turn to Exodus chapter 40. And I want to speak to you on the tabernacle. But to lay a foundation for that, let me read one verse. And that is in Exodus 25:8. Let them make me a sanctuary, this is God speaking, that I may dwell among them. Father, I pray that you'll help us to realize that we are the tabernacle of God, that God, the eternal God, the triune holy God, dwells within a believer. And Lord, if he that hath the Spirit must obey the Word of God. Lord, it is emphatic and infallible that if we know not the Spirit, we're not saved. And as we look into this Scripture, may we realize the significance of God's teaching and God trying to help us to understand Himself. And Lord, I pray that you'll draw us closer to Thee. Thou hast promised the Holy Spirit to those that ask Thee, and we ask Thee, Lord, anoint Thy servant with the blessed Spirit of God. Thou hast promised, and we accept that filling by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, one of my preacher friends gave me a watch. I hope you can see it. And it has now, it is exactly 10:33 and 41:42 seconds. And if that doesn't work, this one will work. Well, it's a little faster. I won't bother that one. Then I have one here. Now, you know what all these watches mean for a preacher on a pulpit? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. So, if you please turn with me to Exodus chapter 40. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, on the first day of the first month shalt thou set up the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation. Now, God has given explicit instructions to Moses. Everything about the tabernacle we can see in Christ and in salvation. It's God's unfolding redemptive plan. And God orders it erected and anointed. Then he said, set it up, the things that are to be set up in order upon it. And thou shalt bring in the candlesticks and the light of the lamp thereof. And thou shalt set the altars of gold and the incense before the ark of the testimony, and put the hanging of the doors to the tabernacle. Thou shalt set the altar of the burnt offerings before the door of the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation, and the laver and the hangings of the outer court, that and an anointing. And I'm not going to read all of it, but you can read the burnt offerings and all his vessels, and the altar and the laver. All these instruments, and then the garments of the whole Aaron, and sanctified, holy unto the Lord, which is the of high priest's office. And he says in verse 15, and thou shalt anoint them as thou didst anoint thy fathers, and they that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. Talking about Aaron's sons, for their anointing shall surely be an everlasting priesthood throughout their generation. Now, here's a phrase that runs throughout this entire chapter. And it says, thus did Moses, according to all that the Lord commanded him, did he. Verse 19, and the Lord commanded Moses. And it says, and in verse 21, they set up the Ark of the Covenant, and here's their phrase, underline it, as the Lord commanded Moses. Verse 23, he set the bread in order, as the Lord, before the Lord, as the Lord commanded Moses. And in verse 25, I wish you'd underline it. The Holy Spirit doesn't repeat something unless it is important. All of God's Word, He can repeat it one time, and it's God's Word, it's a divine truth. But look at this. There's a reason for it. And he lighted the lamps before the Lord, as the Lord commanded Moses, verse 25. Verse 27, as the Lord commanded Moses. Verse 29, as the Lord commanded Moses. And in verse 32, as the Lord commanded Moses. And in verse 33, so Moses finished the work. And look at this little word, then. As God's plan was complete, and God's man obeyed Moses, then something happened. What was it? The word tabernacle means God's dwelling place. A place for God, where God comes and makes His abode and God dwells. This is a good name for tabernacle. It's a humble name. Tabernacle, Baptist, church. Do you ever take into consideration what that really means? God's dwelling place. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Have you ever stopped to think on Sunday nights or Wednesday nights and you are not here? You're saying, I'd rather be someplace else besides where God dwells. It's also saying, Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. When you put something else before being with Him, fellowshipping with Him, and now, God doesn't dwell here. God dwells in our hearts, and I'll say more about that later. He dwells within this tabernacle. But whenever that assembly is gathered together as a local church, God dwells in this sanctuary or in this building. God's here. God's presence is here. Now, let's look at this. The key verse which opens up a typical meaning of the tabernacle is in Hebrews 9:24. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. I believe that there is a holy place, a tabernacle of holy place, and a holy of holies in heaven. Just like as God gave Moses. That's why it had to be precisely God wanted it done. God wanted it done as God had told Moses. Now, for Israel, the tabernacle was instituted for the purpose of revealing through object lessons, signs, symbols, and so forth, God's plan of redemption for every believer, every believing Israelite. And every part of the tabernacle and all its anointed ministries were to Israel a symbol or a sign, a testimony of who? Of that Messiah and His blessed work of redemption. So the tabernacle, they saw Him who was invisible. An invisible God revealing Himself to a tangible, visible people through revelation, through signs, and through symbols and types in the Old Testament. He is revealing Himself now to man. And they saw Him who is invisible. So for us, I think the Holy Spirit records the things according to the tabernacle to illustrate the work of redemption, I think, that has been accomplished through our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. To these things, there are types, there are figures of the person and work of the Lord and His Christ. Now, without knowledge of the tabernacle and its typical meaning, you have very little to build upon in the New Testament in understanding the death, burial, resurrection of Christ, salvation, redemption story, and the Lord's ministry. You have very little that you can understand. So, if you'll read Exodus chapter 25, and I read them last night, 25 through 31, and I read them again this morning. Jehovah God designs His sanctuary and sets it up in the midst of Israel's camp as his dwelling place, as his meeting place. And it is a revealing place. It's an unsearchable wisdom and marvelous grace. The Lord grouped his people above himself, and then as worshipers, as workers, and as warriors. The worshiper, the priest, the priest, the Levite, and the workers that encamp around close to this tabernacle. Every tribe had a very specific place. God is not the author of confusion. God has a very precise, minute, detailed plan for every tribe, and every tribe around the tabernacle had a specific job that they had to do. Levi, the tribe of Levi, they were priests. There was a tribe to carry this, there was a tribe to carry that, there was a tribe to carry that. Every tribe to put this together. Every tribe had a specific job, and they were camped around the tabernacle. And these workers, they were warriors, and the campers of the warriors were outside the camp to guard the worshipers and the workers. So, then the outside of this tabernacle, I just want you, I'm not going into all of the ramifications of it, but I just want to show you the outside of this tabernacle was 150 feet by 75. About three times, let's see, 150 feet. Longer than this building. Longer than this building is. And by 75 feet. So, the tabernacle was for Jehovah God, as he had set it apart, a holy place, a dwelling place for him, who is absolutely absolute and eternal, and the leader of his people. In other words, the tabernacle was God's pavilion for himself. And it was his redeemed ones that they might really hide. A pavilion was a place to hide in. It was a place to feel secure in. It was a place whenever the battles and the wars were raging, you could hide in a pavilion. And this is what it was for God's people. It was Jehovah's pavilion in which its redeemed ones might hide in the day of trouble. So, as the king of Israel, Jehovah was enthroned in the tabernacle as his palace. And as the father of his people, the tabernacle was the house of God in which his children might enjoy fellowship with him. Now, through elaborate, detailed ritual and instruction, could they only come to and have fellowship him without the shedding of blood? There was no remission of sin. And many a priest was killed because they did not follow God's instructions and applying the blood to the altar. And bind the blood to the mercy seat. And God was holy. Man was sinful. And the only way you could get and have fellowship with God was through the blood. And it had to be done exactly the way God wanted it done. So, in the tabernacle, Jehovah dwelt in the midst of his people, whom he had redeemed and brought near him. His presence was manifested in the cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Guided and he protected them and illuminated their pathway as they made their journey through the wilderness. Now, every place of the tabernacle was set apart. And I can't, the foundation is the atonement money and so forth. But it was significant of Christ, the Messiah, and his redemptive plan. And far much more. If you have a piece of paper on the back of your bulletin, you have a place to write a note. And I want to give you something. And later on, you can study it, and maybe it'll help you in your devotions or something. But what does the tabernacle mean to me? Well, it's a place of shadows. It's a place of signs. The bread, the showbread, that was taken and put into an oven. There were three ways that you could bake the showbread, and the priest baked the showbread, and it was put in order. You could bake the showbread on the top of a hot stove, and all of it. And it's a picture of the bread of life, and you could see that as the heat was put on it and it was baked. You could see it all. Then there was a tray about a quarter, an inch and a half, to where the bread was put in it. And you couldn't see all of the bread. Then there was another way, and I like to think of this way. There was another way that you could bake the showbread. pull the oven down, put the unleavened bread back in the oven, and bake it. Put it on sharp flints so it will not burn, and bake it. Close the door and bake it. You could not see any of the bread. It was closed in an oven. Now let me take that piece of bread just for a moment. Take that piece of bread and let's look at the three ways that it was baked and the fire was put on it. Number one, you could see all of the suffering or all the heat. Number two, you could see a portion of it. Number three, you could not see any of it. Let's look at the bread of life on Calvary. When the wrath of God's judgment was poured upon him, you could see him there for 3 hours in the plain view of his suffering. You could see the physical suffering, but you couldn't see the mental suffering. But you could see openly the physical suffering that he was going through. You could hear him cry. You could hear his suffering and see his suffering. Then there was a portion. You could not see the spiritual suffering that he was going through as his soul was rendered out in the fire of God's judgment. You could not see all of it. That's a picture of the bread in the tray. But here's the one I like to think about. When the bread of life was taken and the oven was pulled down and the bread of life was put back in the fiery ovens of God's wrath and the door was closed and man could not see any of the suffering. What's that a picture of? The 3 hours he was in total darkness. That 3 hours he was in total darkness, man could not see the suffering of the Lamb of God. God withheld man. He clothed Mother Earth in a gown of mourning and pulled the curtains back and blotted out the sun. And no man is going to see the depths of the suffering of the Son of God. It's a picture of the bread of life being put in the oven. Can you see that? And pulled out. And as they took the loaf of bread out, showed bread out, and the sharp points of the flints made prints and indents on the bread of life. Had prints in his side and prints in his hand. So I'm simply saying to you that the place of the tabernacle to me is a place of shadows. It's a place of shadows. It's pointing to a substance. And then I think of the labor. I think of the light, the water, and I think of the light. What did Jesus say? I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. All of these Old Testament symbols and signs and shadows point to something else. They point to the real. What about the veil? The veil was rent from the top to the bottom, as thick as a man's hand, and 300 priests trying to handle it, and you couldn't have pulled it together with a yoke of oxen. But whenever the veil was rent from the top to the bottom, and Jesus cried out, "It is finished!" on the cross, at that very hour, God rent the veil from the top to the bottom. Now, we know in Hebrews that the veil was what? His flesh. It was a picture of his flesh that made a new and living way into the blood atonement, into the atonement of the blood. So, I see in the tabernacle, and I wish I just had time to go into every one, but I don't. I want you to whet your appetite. It's a place of shadows. Secondly, it's a place of... When you go into the tabernacle, you go approach God. My friends, it is a bloody way. Calves, oxen, throat slit, blood pouring. It is a bloody way. Sacrifice. You do not approach God and worship God without blood, without the innocent dying. Are you beginning to get the picture? You see how God in his divine revelation has brought it all together. And we who understand have something to tell the world that the Old Testament, somebody said, well, what does Judaism have to do with Christianity? Judaism has nothing to do with Christianity as far today, except that we have a great heritage, a great history of it pointed to Christ. And Christ came unto his own, but his own what? Received him not. He was in the world, and the world knew it not. He created the world, and the world knew it not. But I'm simply saying that when you go into the tabernacle, that priest has to check your sacrifice. And he cannot have a... And by the way, there's certain qualifications for the priest. A priest couldn't have a flat nose. You know why? There's a reason for that. He had to be able to smell. And he would take that little lamb and smell of the breath of that little lamb. And if the priest didn't have, he had a flat nose, he had no discernment, no smell. He could not tell whether this lamb was sick or not. You didn't offer secondhand stuff to God in the Old Testament. You didn't go down to the ramage sale in the Creek Street corner of Jerusalem or someplace and get a three-legged chair and give it to a missionary. You see, you didn't give what you had left over. You gave your very best to your God. And it, to me, it's so hypocritical for us to think, well, we tithe. So what? The hypocrites do that. Jesus said, these things you ought to. Folk, when are we going to learn? In serving the Lord, it's sacrifice, it's death, it's blood, and the innocent dying for the guilty. When? What will it take? Look at the tabernacle. It's a place of sacrifice. Secondly, it's a place of service. Do you know it was work in killing all those animals? Do you know it was work in taking down the tabernacle, putting it back together? It was nothing but pure work. It was service. Service in serving the Lord Jesus Christ in the tabernacle. By the way, there's something about the Old Testament priest. Do you know how long he worked in the tabernacle? From 30 to 50. Age 30 to 50. That's how long he worked in serving in the tabernacle. You know what he did after he's 50? He trained others to work in the tabernacle. Why is it whenever I'm 50 plus? But why is it that I have a burden to train young people to take my place? Why is it that I have a burden to train young preachers? Why is it I have a burden for these? Why? It's natural. You know, I don't have another 50 years. Now, if I did, I'd be older than Methuselah. But I don't have that. The New Testament, or the Old Testament priest taught, trained young priests to take his place and do his work, and he did the Old Testament priest trained young priests to Young Testament. So it was a place of service. It thrills me whenever a young man, young woman wants to go into the service of the Lord. Don't you ever take for granted, tonight we'll be ordaining another man into the ministry. Every year, for years and years and years, 60-some churches, this church has had the privilege to help start. Hundreds of missionaries, hundreds of churches on the mission field. We bring them in, we train them, go in, train them, send. And that is what it's all about. Now, don't get your eyes on each other and forget about the blessing that God's given us. What a great opportunity to be part of a New Testament local Baptist church who's training young men and young women to take our place when we die and go to glory. So it's a place of service. Secondly, I like this. Look what it says. And the chapter, in chapter 40, it says, and then a cloud, verse 34, and then a cloud covered, after it was finished, after Moses had done everything, the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. The glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. In Jesus dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead. Jesus Christ was the God-man. There is a perfect man, perfect God in Emmanuel's land today. Jesus Christ was God, and in Him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the glory of God filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because of the cloud abode thereon. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Repeated it again. So much that Moses couldn't go in. This glory, the glory of the holiness, the glory of an omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, the glory of an awesome God. God's glory filled the tabernacle. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went in toward, went onward in all their journeys. But if the tabernacle were not, if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not until the day that it was taken up. In other words, when the cloud was there, God's presence was there. Whenever the pillar of fire was, God led them to the pillar of fire by day or night and pillar of cloud by day. And that blood was sprinkled upon the door, upon the mercy seat, between the seraphims, right between the seraphims in that dark place after the priest had gone through elaborate instructions and rituals and did exactly what God had told, slit the throat of an innocent lamb and take some hyssop and upon the day of the high priest, the day of atonement, go in and sprinkle some blood upon the mercy seat, a little chest filled with gold, and then right between those two wings stretched out would become a bright light. And that bright Shekinah glory would fill the entire holy place. Or holies of holies. And it filled the whole thing just as bright and as brilliant. And then the pillar of fire, pillar of cloud. God said, that's whenever the Shekinah glory of God was dwelling in this tabernacle. And God was pleased with His people because they had done, what did Moses say? As the Lord had commanded Moses. They had done what God said do, and God was in their presence, and God was blessing them, and the glory of God was there, and it was what God intended it to be. So we see it as a place of shadows, a place of sacrifice, a place of service, and a place of Shekinah glory. Now, what about today? And I am closing. What about today? Let's look at God's tabernacle. Where is God's tabernacle today? It's not some sentimental building that Grandma was buried in the backyard, Grandpa was buried in the backyard. Where is God today? He's dwelling in this tabernacle. God dwells in this tabernacle. Let's look at that. Let me make some application. The shadows become the substance. All symbols and shadows and type become real now. That little lamb, no more lambs are slain. No more innocent throats are cut. No more blood runs. Isaac said to his father, Abraham, Father, here's the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb? John the Baptist on the rivers of Jordan pointed one day as he saw someone come walking down. And he said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Now the Lamb has changed in progressive revelation from an offering that lies at the door to a Lamb. And from a Lamb, it's changed now to the Lamb, God's darling Son. And in Him is the fullness of the Godhead. So the Lamb was slain, the blood of the Lamb. Now what happens whenever you and I receive this God in the flesh that was crucified, that was buried, that rose again? What happens to me and you? My Bible tells me whenever I am saved, I'm born again, that triune God in the person of the Holy Spirit comes and makes His abode in my tabernacle. God's inside me. The shadows are now a substance. And God's Son paid the sin debt. And that same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells inside me. This is the tabernacle. But wait a minute. What did I see? The shadows become the substance and dwells in me. The sacrifice becomes the substance. Calvary, the sacrifice. In the Old Testament, the fire consumed the sacrifice. In the New Testament, the sacrifice consumes the fire. There's no more hell for one of God's children. Jesus Christ died for all my sin, or He didn't die for any of them. He died for my past sin, present sin, and future sin. And now, that sacrifice of Calvary, the blood that was shed, it leads to the supreme sacrifice. And the Bible says that God doesn't want me to die for Him necessarily. He wants me to live for Him. Present your bodies, therefore, a living sacrifice. So this tabernacle, we are to have a place. It's a place of sacrifice. It's a place that the shadows now is a substance. And this place of sacrifice was bought me. Now, the least I can do, if Jesus Christ be God, and He died for me, there's no sacrifice too great for me to do for Him. Isn't it wonderful? What a wonderful story that we have to tell. And it's a place of service. You know, why didn't God just take us to heaven whenever he saved us, Brother Aubrey? Why didn't he just take us to heaven whenever he saved us? Because we're saved to serve. We're saved to serve. I'm the only hands that he has. The Bible says, let the world see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. When they see you, they hear you, they see your attitude, they see your actions, and they see me and see my attitude and see my actions. You know what the world says? That word glorify means get the proper opinion of the nature and character of God. They get the proper opinion of what God is like by watching my life. So God left me here. Be careful, little hands, what you do. Be careful, little hands, what you do. There's a Father up above, looking down with tender love. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. Be careful, little feet, where you go. Be careful, little feet, where you go. There's a Father up above, looking down with tender love. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. Oh, be careful, little mouth. Oh, be careful, big mouth, what you say. There's a Father up above, looking down with tender love. So we need to be careful, don't we? Because who? You know, have you ever stopped to think what's hanging on the walls of the tabernacle of your soul and my soul that must grieve the Spirit of God? In Ezekiel, they knocked a hole in the temple. And they peeked through the hole, and they saw all kind of creatures and all kind of apostasy and hypocrisy and vile things that was taking place in the tabernacle. If God could some way let us look into the tabernacle of our soul, are there things there that grieves the blessed Spirit of God? I'm sure there are. And then, what does this mean? It means the Shekinah glory. It means that, that we'll have a Spirit-filled life overflowing. Know you not that your temple, or your body's a temple of the Holy Ghost? And that we are to be filled, and be ye being filled daily with the Spirit of God. And let the Shekinah glory of God run out, overflow, fill our psalter, fill my cup, Lord. We need to let God take over, take control in the tabernacle. In the tabernacle. Now, I'm going to make it an application. I'm closing. And it said, covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. 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 If you have the Spirit of God, the Godhead in you, tonight, when the doors are open, you'll want to be at tabernacle, God's dwelling place, so that there'll be a testimony that the cloud will appear and that everybody will know that God's people, they called out assembly of God to do business for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, is present, making our battle strategy and our plans for another week of serving in the kingdom of our Father. All the depth, all the awesome responsibility that is upon us who know the truth. It would make us go on visitation that we didn't want to. It would cause us to witness and pass out tracts. I thank you for giving. That just helped me this morning. One of his Awana parents he led to the Lord Saturday. And that's what it's all about. We are the only, we who are saved are the only testimony of the saving grace of God in the world today. What kind of testimony does our Lord have if the world watches my life and your life? Will they too want to be the God's dwelling place? Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. I asked you a question. How about you? Does God dwell within you? Does the Spirit bear His witness within that you have been saved from sin, that you're a child of God? And does He dwell upon the altar of your heart, pure, clean, let's ask the Lord, Lord, search me, try me, see if there be any wicked way in me. You know, I feel with all my heart that God is working in the tabernacle. I'm talking about Tabernacle Baptist Church, but I'm not talking about a building. I'm talking about a people who are part of this assembly. I can't wait to see what God's got in store for us. I really can't. God is doing a deep work. Plow on, O King Eternal. Plow on. And you know something? About 10 years ago, I remember God doing a deep, deep work in the hearts of Tabernacle. But before he ever does a deep work, he has to plow up the fallow ground. And he does that. Would you say, plow on, O King Eternal, plow on. Make my life a blessing to others. With their heads bowed and their eyes closed, I wonder how many can say, Brother Bell, I know that I'm saved, and I know the Spirit of God dwells within, and I know that my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Would you please raise your hand?